All right, guys, fasten your seatbelts. This is going to be a speedy presentation because I'm between you and drinks and dinner. Before I say anything else, I would actually like to acknowledge my collaborators, and they're really everyone who's been involved with the development and implementation of the MS Safety Foundation, but particularly Arthur Cooper, who is also responsible for me being exhausted because his computer broke last night, so I was up till 4 a.m. trying to help him from his computer in Denver. My disclosures are that I established the foundation, so I poured money into it, rather it to me, so I'm not sure if that's a disclosure or not. The objective of this is to describe the design, implementation and sustainability of a purpose-developed e-platform for interdisciplinary collaboration and transfer of knowledge from research to practice in EMS transport safety. And really the mission of this project was to pull together a team of like-minded innovators across EMS and medical transport, and a number of technical disciplines that were not EMS and medical transport disciplines, who share that common mission of enhancing the safety of EMS delivery for all involved. And why now? Well, EMS is operating, or trying to operate optimally, in a transportation environment that's largely devoid of specific safety standards for the hazards and risks that we now know are present in emergency medical services. So what we wanted to do and is to really bridge that gap between what technical information exists and largely outside of EMS and what is accessible and applied to EMS currently. In that setting, with an absence of standards and oversight, there are challenges in identifying best practice, there's a myriad of unregulated commercial products and no true safety performance standards and absent national safety oversight. And there are some more serious problems that pertain to ambulance transport. Ambulances are the most lethal vehicle on the road in the United States, both per mile travelled and per vehicle. Ambulances are exempt from federal commercial fleet safety oversight with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. And two-thirds of the fatalities resulting from ambulance vehicle crashes are not in the ambulance itself. It's someone else. And ambulance is also exempt from most federal motor vehicle safety standards. And that's new information for a lot of people, and that's a big part of how this situation has arisen. If we have a look at the burden and look at some 2010 insurance data, for every medical liability claim, ambulance services have 35 vehicle operations claims relating to crashes. One in four EMS workers have career-ending back injury in the first 4 years of their career, not necessarily crash-related, but related to their operational work environment. And back injury is the number one reason for leaving EMS. So we know there's a balance of risks and concerns during ambulance transport. You've got to get there. You've got to get there quickly. You've got to provide clinical care. But you've also got to look at the safety of your providers, your patients, and the public. A number of these consequences are predictable and likely preventable. There's a huge cost for these adverse events, both in loss of life, as outlined earlier, and also when there are vehicles taken out of action, the negative impact on delivering EMS care to others. Other high-speed vehicles, such as racing cars, have a different safety paradigm. Interdisciplinary technical input goes into how their system is designed. In order to optimise the design of interventions to mitigate injury, you've got to have a valid testing model. And this is a complex engineering and public health issue. These guys know how to work in an interdisciplinary fashion, and we need to learn from the model they use. Ambulances are actually not built by the automotive industry. They're built by the aftermarket retrofitters. The technology that we have in our general transportation vehicles is not generally integrated into EMS systems. And as we've just spoken, all EMS systems have medical direction and oversight, but it's very rare for there to be transportation-specific expertise and oversight. This vehicle is safety crash-tested by automotive experts, and this vehicle isn't. This was an ambulance vehicle. ESC, enhanced stability control. Does your ambulance have it? We know these technologies are going to prevent you from having a crash and minimise the severity if you do. In the 1980s, this is what a cell phone looked like, and now this is what a cell phone looks like. In the 1980s, this is what an ambulance looked like, and now this is what an ambulance looks like. There's science to lifting and loading. We need to be integrating that as well as looking at the safety of our vehicles. So, data. What's your transport safety record in your service? What can you lift safely? Can you reach the equipment you need? How can you improve if you don't have a meaningful measure of safety performance? And safety is not guesswork, it's a science. So we set this up on an operational process that was a lean infrastructure, a focus on information-dense content, skewed towards innovators, optimise the use of state-of-the-art virtual interactive technologies, leveraging the use of social media tools and minimising travel and face-to-face meeting. So our methodology was to build an electronic virtual environment consortium and create an end-user-driven forum bridging operational EMS services with specific technical fields, addressing EMS transport system safety. A communication platform identified for use for this is a voice over internet protocol, so there was no cost in phone lines being used for webinar series and seminars, and a secure electronic access so that it was a confidential environment, so that interdisciplinary interactive presentations, recordings, handouts and workshops could be held, combining both on-site and virtual off-site participation. The participants were essentially self-selected, and I'll describe how that happened. In order to identify innovators, it was pretty easy. People who had reached out asking innovative questions were identified as likely good candidates to participate in this consortium. And pretty much virtually everyone who had reached out saying, we want to understand this better, were agreeable to participate. And this is the sort of platform they participated on, and this is just a sample of one of the seminars that was held. One of the first things we did was scope out and survey the participants for what they felt were their priority areas where they needed technical support. And it was no surprise that number one was designing an ambulance. These are healthcare providers and they felt they needed technical guidance in designing ambulances. Issue number two was vehicle operations, driver monitoring, driver management. And the third issue was, and this was actually done in 2008 before the Worker Visibility Act was implemented, was proper visibility of their provider in their ambulance. And these were considered their priority areas. We're about to resurvey them to see how they feel now. It'll be 4 years later in 2012 when we do our second survey of what they feel their priority areas are. Vehicle operations, ambulance design were number one as their priority, and priority number one and priority number two. So without a doubt, the big issues for these innovators was vehicle operations, patient handling and protective equipment. I'm going to flip through this fairly quickly, but the whole goal of this was really to operationalise knowledge transfer, practical and interdisciplinary R&D, and to try and evaluate and implement system safety enhancements so they could be monitored. Primary goals were to share pooled best practices, integrate key technical expertise to address common challenges, advance new multidisciplinary research projects, and translate safety technology from appropriate related technical areas to EMS, truly knowledge transfer from research to practice. And really the mantra that we've put this on is innovation, collaboration and knowledge transfer, which is interdisciplinary and operational. The structure is this consortium, which is called the Innovation Consortium, integrated with a technical expert panel from a range of disciplines I'll discuss in a moment, an advisory board, operational team, management board, some corporate sponsors, corporate partners and interns. The fiscal fabric is actually built on a membership base that's a sliding scale related to service size, from small volunteer rural EMS services to major metropolitan EMS services across the country. Originally just USA, now North America, and including some international sites in Scandinavia, Europe and Australasia. Also bringing in EMS associations and some interns. The technical expert panel really walks the whole gamut from risk management, data management, patient safety, new technologies, automotive safety, ergonomics and human factors, occupational safety, system safety, research and public health. I just mentioned the oversight before, and the support is a combination of membership dues and corporate sponsors and partners. So we basically launched this in January 2008 on this e-platform that I just showed you. There are greater than 360 participants in this consortium at this point, bridging, as I just outlined to you, a broad scope of people. A very rudimentary website, actually we shortly upgraded. And I'm going to mention that little coloured code, little box there in the corner in just a moment. So we've actually just looked at our just access data, and I was astounded to see the number of people who've been looking at this project. 426,000 folks have been accessing it from 26,000 distinct email addresses, which really surprised us. We hold an interactive interdisciplinary webinar every 8 weeks and a biannual workshop addressing topic areas that have been identified by the participants as gaps in their system safety knowledge, and an annual international best practice field trip. That's just really quite interesting, looking at the access data. At this point here, Ronald Rolfson, who's sitting just behind you, his participant in the foundation, you're going to see his fleet shortly, actually wrote a very interesting letter about the shootings in Norway, and that attracted an enormous amount of traffic. So it's applied operational interdisciplinary research that is addressing vehicle design, fleet management, some specifics. We're specifically looking at neonatal ambulance occupant protection at the moment, and also some technologies that interface the EMS system with the lay community. So at this point, we have been involved in developing three fleets of innovative prototype vehicles, actually really four, but three officially, and they've been manufactured and implemented in North America, Europe, and based on interdisciplinary technical input. The fourth is under development. Ergonomic operational task analysis and measurement innovation is being performed and underway. I'm going to show you some of that. And general advances in fleet and operational safety practice and policy throughout the consortium have been embarked on. So I want to give you a little window as to what we've actually been doing. So it's really created a networking infrastructure and relationships that didn't exist previously between not only EMS services, but the EMS services and these diverse technical experts. And that community has been able to leverage those relationships to bring that knowledge very cost-effectively into their fleet development and system safety and operational tasks. Just a few words about these. Those who don't know what this is an e-tag, and if you have any sort of smartphone, you can point your smartphone at that tag using Microsoft Tag, and I can actually capture it from the screen, and it will open the website of the foundation. So what we've tried to do is leverage existing social media technologies so that folks, and there it is, it's just opened the website on my smartphone from the screen, and educated all the participants in the foundation about these sort of technologies. This is one of the workshops we held. This is the first time anywhere in the world three automotive engineers and an ergonomist have sat in one room with not only EMS providers and services, but equipment manufacturers, and there's Ronald from Norway, at the National Academies, pulling together all these different threads. And that is a photograph I'm very proud of three automotive engineers all speaking to EMS providers. Here's the ergonomist describing some of the differences in anthropometry and reach, and here are two of our participants, and he's demonstrating that the design for those two people is going to be compatible. And here's the automotive engineer pointing out some of the... This is one of our innovative fleet vehicles in Dallas, Texas. Other issues that were identified were there's some specific science behind loading height and size matters. If you've got a loading height less than 27 inches, you're not going to hurt your back. If it's over 27 inches, you're in trouble. We also take a delegation to look at European innovation each year, and we've gone there for 4 years. And there's 20,000 people that go to this conference, and I was astounded to see our foundation was identified, actually the only organisation that was identified on their webpage as being truly innovative. This is a pretty interesting experience, and we take our diverse group of people, that's a little bird's eye view of it, and this is the biggest EMS traffic jam you'll ever see in your life as 20,000 ambulances make their way to this show. And here's one of our delegations, everything from an epidemiologist to an ambulance manufacturer and everything in between. And some of the workshops that we held there, which are all interdisciplinary, all interactive, and all recorded. And here's one of our participants who's from Canada, looking at some of the international designs. And the recordings of our web seminars given from there are all available to the public on the website that I just showed you, or that you can find from one of those e-tags. We were very honoured last May that they actually gave us our own booth. So we had our own booth to present what we've been doing. And we also were running podcasts, which again are also publicly accessible. And there's our team of people, everything from a Swedish industrial designer, an ergonomist, an ergonomist, a professor, a full professor of emergency medicine, a physiotherapist, equipment manufacturer, and EMS providers. And here's some podcasts with the ergonomist discussing with the physiotherapist and one of the software developers, and you can read those podcasts, and I'll make this handout available to you. Here we are actually putting on some truly innovative wireless back strain measurement devices and looking at the, measuring the strain on the back of providers, and you can actually see they're all wearing T-shirts with the e-tags on them, measuring the back strain, doing different tasks that are the sort of tasks we do in EMS. This is the only time in the world anyone's ever done this sort of work in this manner, integrating the technology with the providers in an operational space. And here's a shot where the Swedish industrial designer who's designing ambulances for the nation of Sweden is now doing a podcast with the North American ambulance builder. And these are the sorts of studies that the Swedish industrial designer is involved in that he's shared with us. These are frequency analyses of how often you use certain parts of the vehicle. Green is a frequent use. Clearly the teddy bear here is seldom used. There's a little white teddy bear you can probably make out there. But this is the sort of science we should be applying to what we're doing here, and this is the sort of science the Foundation is bringing to its participants in its consortium. Having access to interdisciplinary technical knowledge supports changes to improve safety practice that you can measure. We've done some work looking at visibility and conspicuity, and these are some of our new vehicles. This is the vehicle in Dallas, Texas, forward and rear-facing seating only, minimal cabinetry, and designed considering all the anthropometric and ergonomic and task analyses that we've discussed just previously. And here you can see, in actual fact, there's a lot more room in this truck because the seats fold against the wall, and it's been designed with input that's come from these international field trips and participating with this consortium of interdisciplinary experts. Chris Dick over in Colorado produced these. We had a design workshop which we held just after EMS Expo last year, and I didn't care how the design diagrams came in, and Chris's came in on this sort of piece of paper, and we had an opportunity to discuss this design with the automotive engineers, with the ergonomists, with the transportation people, and he built a truck based on that, and there's some shots of that, and that was just on display in September this year. Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, who are now part of the consortium, have also applied these principles, and their vehicle has only forward and rear-facing seating and seating that can fold down. Ronald, who's sitting in the audience here and has probably designed what is arguably the world's most impressive operationally sophisticated ambulance, and this is it sitting there in Fulda, Germany. He drove it down from Norway so we could do a workshop around that ambulance. And there we have Ronald, the ergonomist, the industrial designer, and the ambulance builder, and two EMS providers. I don't believe there's a photograph like that anywhere in the world, doing a real live walkthrough, which we've recorded, of Ronald's ambulance. Has a number of very impressive features, all based on human factors, occupant safety, automotive safety, and operational task analysis in the EMS environment. This little red lever is very impressive because he can kick that and the patient gets moved away if he wants to punch his lights out. And again, all the equipment is positioned so that the equipment that Ronald needs to get at promptly is sitting there, and the stuff he uses less frequently is not as close by him. This clamp here is a clamp that clamps down the cardiac monitor. And all in all, I don't believe, nor do the ergonomists or automotive engineers who joined us, feel that there is a more impressive, operationally secure and safe ambulance. It's actually built into a Mercedes Sprinter, which I imaged just earlier. The other activities of the Foundation, we're very supportive of the new NAMT safety course, which is just rolling out now. And we have an intimate relationship with the National Academy's Transportation Research Board, EMS Safety Subcommittee, which I chair. We've held two summits, one in 2008, one in 2009. We're planning a big full-day summit, February 29th, 2012. And here's some of the folks who've attended that. And again, interdisciplinary group of people from across the spectrum. There are some limitations to what we've done. Clearly, this is limited to a small spectrum of forward-thinking EMS services who are focused on the benefits of interdisciplinary collaboration and innovation. Of the 15,000 EMS services in North America or in the United States, it's a small percentage, but these are people who are actively disseminating the information they have. It's clearly not representative of EMS generally. It has a very lean infrastructure, so incredibly limited resources, and it's operational in contrast to being academic. So we feel we've sort of demonstrated that collaboration can be facilitated between EMS and appropriate technical expertise and over time, including automotive engineers, occupant protection people, transport system safety design, ergonomics and human factors, as well as safety design, safety science and industry partners. And this collaboration really appears to be key to facilitating and enhancing the development of innovative solutions. And as we move forwards, clearly we already have some very valuable, meaningful measures, both hard measures from some of the direct data we've captured, as well as looking at the system safety of the services that are involved, who not only describe they have safer services, they actually have more cost-efficient services. So in conclusion, I'd like to say that establishment of a sustained interdisciplinary forum for transfer of knowledge from research to practice has been achieved through a secure virtual access network in a cost-efficient manner. It's demonstrated to be accessible to a spectrum of end users, and it has resulted in development of innovations in vehicle design and operations policy for safer EMS transport. So thank you very much. Please, I didn't go over time. And any questions and a handout will be available. And there's some brochures out the front and business cards and e-tags if you would like to collect those. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Very good, Nadine. Are there any questions? Very impressive.
Yes, Jake.
Nadine, you used to show some gory pictures of ambulances that didn't fare too well. How did the new, or do you have any evidence about the new ambulances?
I actually do. We've actually managed to crash one or two of them. I was going to put those photos in, but I sort of realised this was being recorded, so I left them out. But, yes, we actually have, because the fleet's been in place for a while now, and we were very pleased to see no injury at all to the occupants in the sort of setting where it was an intersection crash and the sort of setting where we would have anticipated very serious injury. So we're monitoring very closely the outcome performance. The other issues we're looking at also are some fleet management solutions that are preventing the sort of crashes that would give us that information, but I'm very happy to have that problem. Thank you very much. Enjoy dinner and drinks.
Yeah. Don't forget
that. Oh, that's someone else's.
Oh, that's
I took one.
That's yours.
No,
okay.